No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing, bloody murder, molesting, running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around, something else is going wrong. Yeah, tell me, what the hell is going on?
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And welcome into the Rusty Satellite Show. This is Rick Redding. This is the show where you meet the most interesting people in the Ville. And this week, the guests certainly live up to that billing. I have Ed Hart, the master architect, the guy behind Kentucky Kingdom's resurrection for the second time. And Joe Arnold of WHAS-TV, very interesting, versatile reporter at WHAS. And we talk a little bit about politics and news stories, and I get him to sing a few bars from Oklahoma. So if you got that to look forward to. This week, in the first week of December, I'm just back from a trip to New Orleans to see my son Nick. Nick is the original Rusty Satellite, came up with the name a long time ago when he was in high school, and really enjoyed my trip down there with my other two sons, Josh and Luke, and had a few days off as sort of an escape from the world, and really interesting spending Thanksgiving in another city for the first time, I think, in my life, as a matter of fact. But anyway, I want to go on and get on with the show. I've got some things to talk about afterwards, but Ed Hart is not an easy guy to get an interview with. He is really a busy man resurrecting Kentucky Kingdom. He started it the first time and made it a success, sold it, and saw the Six Flags Corporation sort of I guess I would say running into the ground, and it's been empty and an eyesore for several years. And Ed has been trying to get it back with his partners. He's partners with Bruce Lunsford and Mary Mosley and Ed Glasscock. And once you listen to this interview, you will be convinced, I'm sure, that Kentucky Kingdom is indeed going to open this spring. I just saw some just this week some billboards for the park opened up. They're selling tickets. There's a lot going on. My relationship with Ed goes back a long time. I did a story in Business First about him. I followed the story as he sued WHAS-TV a long time ago for a story they did that was incorrect, and Ed was proved right in the end on that one, and got a nice judgment. So we talk about that in the show as well. So let's get on with it. Here's my interview with Ed Hart.
What is Louisville if it's not a food town? Learn where to go and what to eat on Deliciously Louisville with Ashley Eats every other Wednesday on Louisville.am.
Welcome back to the Rusty Satellite Show. I'm here in the Highlands in the Ed Hart's office, and Ed, many of you listeners know, is the architect, the guy behind Kentucky Kingdom, but he's got a lot of other things up his sleeve and that he's done in this town. So, first of all, Ed, thanks for being on the show.
Well, you know, Rick, I don't do all that many interviews, but you've been a friend for many, many years. I'm only happy to be on your show, and it's always great to see you.
Well, great. Well, thank you very much for that. And I wanted to ask you, before we get to what everybody wants to know about Kentucky Kingdom, just a little bit about media, because you and I go back talking about media
for many years when I did a story about you on In Business First, and then we covered the famous trial where with Kentucky Kingdom and WHAS, and now you have been one of the guys to step up on behalf of media to help finance the public media investigative reporting center. So I guess I just want to ask you a wide open question is about your interest in media and what you think should happen in this town.
You know, it's interesting. We were fortunate to win a major case against WHAS TV on defamation. Mm-hmm. And that was a journey that took us 10 years to prevail. We went before the Kentucky Supreme Court and won a 5-4 decision in our favor, and we were awarded $7 million, including punitive damages, against what was an unfair story. And during that process, I became very, very much acquainted with good journalism, ethics in journalism, good journalistic practices. And I think it's really, really important that for democracy to succeed, you have to have a vibrant journalistic community, especially investigative journalistic community. So I took some of that money that we won in that case and donated it to the investigative journalism that Louisville Public Media is now engaged in, and they brought in a terrific young man to run that, and they actually added a couple old-time gumshoe reporters.
They sure do.
So they got a good squad there. So I think my interest in that is a result of 10 years of being in the weeds with it in
right.
the case. And appreciating good journalism. You know, it's funny. It's funny. I'm ultimately a major league defender of good journalism. Mm-hmm. What happened in that WHAS case was bad journalism.
Right.
Okay? So I support good journalism. I'm happy to put my money where my mouth is.
Well, that's great. And for our listeners, Ed's talking about former Rusty Satellite guest Brendan McCarthy, who is heading up that operation over there, and we're anxious to see how that goes. But, of course, Ed, you know, most people in this town, or a lot of people in this town, know you and are interested in Kentucky Kingdom. And just update me right now. I know that I heard last week you're selling tickets, which is a pretty good sign that it's actually going to open. And people were very doubtful, I think. Somewhere about it ever opening again. So where are we now with Kentucky Kingdom?
I could certainly understand the community's doubt about whether Kentucky Kingdom would ever reopen, because it's been closed now going on 5 years, and there were a couple of false starts. But my partners and myself, Bruce Lunsford and Mary Mosley, representing the Al J. Schneider Company, and of course Ed Glasscock, we're putting up $43.5 million to reopen Kentucky Kingdom. And we're down the road in development plan. We're very, very much on target. Our new website went up just a week or so ago. We're selling season passes now at $59.95, which not only entitles you to come to the park every single day, but with your season pass, you can buy 32-ounce soft drinks at the park for only $1. And you get 20% off on all the merchandise and all the food purchased at the park. So our $59.95 season pass is one heck of a value, and I'm glad you give me an opportunity to pitch it on your show.
There you go. Well, I saw my. It's odd that I was coming to see you today. I saw my very first billboard for the new park. So you know, I guess it's all happening. I guess I'm curious about what's going to be there. I know the Chang is gone.
Right.
What rides are going to be there? Yeah. What's
well,
it going to be?
First of all, your listeners, Rick, can go to KentuckyKingdom.com, okay. And they can get a complete menu of all the attractions. We have 8 new water attractions going into the water park, and we're doubling the size of the water park. That's really important for season pass holders, mm-hmm. because they're frequent visitors. They want a dynamic experience in the water park. Is right up their alley. We're also adding 8 new attractions in the Steel Park, the traditional theme park,
okay.
including our first roller coaster in 17 years, It's a steel roller coaster. It's a 100-foot drop at an 80-degree angle. That's almost straight down, Rick. If you know anything about arithmetic, that's almost straight down.
I'm a journalist, so I don't know about that.
Yeah.
It sounds scary.
We're putting a drop tower in as well, 130-foot drop tower, and we're adding a family ride, Dr. John's Flying Machine, which is another fun ride, and we're adding a number of rides to our children's section. We're going to have 11 children's rides there, new rides. So we got new rides on the water side. We have new rides on the steel side. I think everybody's going to have just a tremendous experience.
Yeah. Well, I haven't been over there, but now, when are you opening, and how are you going to get all that done in time?
We're opening May 24th of 2014. And we are on schedule. We've been working very, very hard. What some people don't realize is that over the course of that 3 years that we were trying to get the lease from the state, we did a lot of engineering. We brought a lot of people in to study what had to be done. We already developed our budgets. So we had a jump start. And beginning in May, June of this year, we really hit the ground running. We have probably 50 people out there working full-time. We'll probably add another 12 more full-time employees. And of course, in the summertime, we'll be hiring about 1,000 team members. And we're going to have a job fair at the Crown Plaza in the first week of January, where we first start engaging our team members and making our list of people we'd like to hire. We have over 400 applications for full-time jobs. So there was a real demand to work at Kentucky Kingdom.
Yeah, I think that was the driving force. We don't have time to get into all the politics of what happened, but certainly there were people in metro government that wanted Kentucky Kingdom open. I think every other tourist attraction in town wants Kentucky Kingdom open. So it just seems like quite a feat to pull this off politically.
Well, certainly, all the leading political figures are definitely behind the park now. I'm here to make love, not war, so I don't like to look over my shoulder in that long, arduous battle that we had to get it done. But it got it done, and everybody's supportive now. Your listeners might not realize that, over the course of Kentucky Kingdom's career in Louisville, that's, I guess, about 20 years. It opened in 1990. We operated the first 8 years and built it to almost 1.4 million attendants. Over the period of that time, 15 million people have visited Kentucky Kingdom. And at its height, we were generating over 300,000 room nights in Louisville from visitors who were overnight visitors from Nashville, from Indianapolis. So it is a prime mover.
Yeah, a lot of people benefit,
and
I guess
hospitality
there must be a number, some sort of economic impact number that you guys tout.
State actually, the Fair Board commissioned an economic impact study about 4 years ago, and it was determined that the Kentucky Kingdom generates $11 million in state and metro net new revenues. Keyword net. Net means that you don't count substitutable dollars. For example, if a restaurant closes, people go to another restaurant.
Right.
So if another restaurant opens, it's not net new, you're trading. When a theme park closes, you lose all the people in your own state that went to the theme park. They now go to Ohio and Indiana. Plus, you're not drawing people in from Tennessee, Ohio, and Indiana. So in a sense, it's interesting. It's much like a casino. Some of the politicians make an argument, we need a casino because we're losing that business to other states. Mm-hmm. Well, the same argument could easily be made about Kentucky Kingdom. If you didn't have Kentucky Kingdom, you'd lose all that business to other states. So Kentucky Kingdom creates $11 million a year by the state's own study in net new, underline that word, revenue for metro and state government.
Wow. Well, congratulations in advance on getting in this far and getting it open. While we're in your office, I look around your office, I see all these movie posters. Ed, it just as an aside, something different than Kentucky Kingdom. I know you're a movie producer. You used to tell me you read scripts every day. Anything in your movie world that you can talk about?
Yeah, we've made 11 feature films. It's Hart Lunsford Pictures. We've executive produced and produced 11 feature films. Our most recent film, Great Expectations, opened a couple of weeks ago in New York.
Wow.
It starred Ralph Fiennes, Helen Bonham Carter, and Jeremy Irvine, who is the lead in War Horse. So it was a heck of a cast, and it got good reviews. So, and you know, we're still in the movie business, but Kentucky Kingdom is 24/7. You know, it's funny, we fought to get it, Rick, and the old adage is true: be careful what you wish for, you may get it. So we're working hard.
Okay, well, that's great, Ed, and our time's up about up here, but I really appreciate you letting me come in here to your office and talking about Kentucky Kingdom and journalism, and best of luck to you.
Rick, it's always a pleasure talking to you and your audience.
No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises, and without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
And thank you very much, Ed Hart, for welcoming me into your office down there on Barstown Road in the Highlands. And really enjoyed going down there and very excited, actually, about Kentucky Kingdom opening up, all those new rides that we talked about and everything. It sounds like it's going to be a really great thing for our city. It's really amazing, the economic development numbers that are associated with the park. So anyway, I wanted to talk about a few things. One, left over from my trip to New Orleans, we had a great time down there with my sons, and I was there on Black Friday. And it just so happened we ended up at Nick needed a small part. We ended up at a Best Buy on Black Friday. And that was an experience that made me believe, or reinforced my belief, I guess, that I do not need to be at any retail establishment on that day. The people out there are, I don't know, some people are really into it. I'm just not. I'll pass on the bargains. Thank you very much. It brought up another idea that I've always this time of year talk about, and for the last several years I've had a big rant about it on my blogs, and I will again this year probably, and that is gift cards, the subject of gift cards. I don't know if you're one of those people who thinks gift cards are the greatest thing in the world because it makes gift giving so easy. And I guess my argument to that is gift giving shouldn't, you know, the big thing about it shouldn't be that it's easy. It should be that it's thoughtful, that you took the time to learn something about person you're giving a gift to, and you went out and bought a thoughtful gift, got it wrapped, put it under the tree, open it up in a big box on Christmas morning. That's, you know, that's what it's all about. So I've got two problems with the whole gift card giving thing. And one goes back to my days as a reporter I was covering the kiosk industry, and I learned all this information about gift cards, about really what a great thing it is for retailers, because the percentage of people that don't ever use their gift cards is very high. It's a number that, I didn't go through the trouble to look up the stats this time, this year for this little piece, but, it's a surprisingly high number. And I've gone through Christmases when my kids were younger, and you know, that all the relatives, you know, they give them gift cards, and there's a big stack of them. And it's a lot of work, I guess, to go out and shop and use those gift cards. A lot of them don't get used, and then you find them the next year in the Christmas stuff or stuffed under a couch somewhere. You know, that's my real complaint, I guess, is that it's like giving money with strings attached. In other words, I'm going to give you some money, but you have to spend it at this store. You have to spend it in this way. You're still, you know, doing the impersonal thing of valuing a person by putting a dollar figure on what they're worth to you. So you, my cousin, are worth $25, but since you're my nephew, I'm going to give you $50. And the catch is, you got to go spend it at Walmart or Best Buy. Or so the argument is, oh, I'm doing it at a place that I know you love and then you go anyway. Yeah, sure. Well, I'll take the cash and, I'll spend it the way I want to. And another, I was having this argument with a friend of mine, and that, well, I know they're not buying alcohol or cigarettes with it. You know, that, so that's great. So, you know, if I give you cash, you might go out and spend it on alcohol or cigarettes or something that I disapprove of. But this way, I know they don't have those products at, say, you know, Walmart or Dick's Sporting Goods or something like that. So that makes it safe. That makes it a better deal. Well, I just don't buy into it. I'm sure that this is cutting this thing. I've made this opinion known for years. I'm sure it keeps people from buying me gift cards unless they want to just, you know, make a point that they know that I don't like this, and so they get the gift cards anyway. We'll see. But anyway, that's the story. That's my rant on gift cards. I'd prefer not to get one from you. I'd prefer a wrapped present in a box. Okay, there you go. I had another interesting thing. I think this is worth talking about. I was contacted this week by a journalist from Switzerland who, believe it or not, was in Louisville. He's with the NPR equivalent in Switzerland, and the way their media works is a lot different than the way it is here in America. But he was actually in town because of WDRB's breaking news issue that we talked about several months ago around here. That WDRB, if you don't remember, came out with this strong statement. They did some promos saying that they're not going to use breaking news anymore on their newscast. That they think that it's an overused term, even though every local station, every cable station in America, it actually got WDRB quite a bit of national attention. And the fact that this Swiss journalist just came to town specifically to do a story on WDRB's pledge was kind of interesting. So I sat down with him at a Heine Brothers. He interviewed me about what I thought about the what WDRB was doing. And so here's the interesting part. If you're traveling over in Switzerland in the next few months, you may hear me on the radio being translated into French. They broadcast in three languages over there. Eric, the guy that came to town, was broadcasting. He was for the French station. So the French broadcast will feature a story on this Louisville television station, and will feature an interview with me. I didn't speak French, by the way. I'm not fluent. I did take some high school French, and that's about the extent of it. So it'd be interesting to hear how that comes out. Eric promised to send me a link. He also interviewed Bill Lamb and some of the folks down there at WDRB. So it was fun to sit down and talk to him about that. So the last thing I want to mention, I guess in the scheme of things, it's not that big a deal, but the reward went up again for the theft of Pappy Van Winkle bourbon in Frankfurt. They're really making a big deal of this. They discovered it's been about a month ago, but this valuable cache of Pappy Van Winkle whiskey has been stolen, and detectives are combing the internet trying to find people selling it. They found a guy trying to sell some, got him on video, and it turns out he was not the culprit, and they really have determined, if you read the media reports, that's an inside job. So somebody who worked there in Frankfurt at the distillery figured out a way to lift a whole bunch of valuable product, and I don't know. It's I think they're going to get to the bottom of it. They're bound to find out. There's no way to get rid of that kind of product without getting the attention of law enforcement. So I don't know. It's just one of those interesting little stories that comes across. On a less light note, there was a murder at the Kroger in St. Matthews of a young man, and authorities seemed to have no clue as to why this person was targeted and why he was killed in the parking lot. And the reward for that has gone up to $30,000. So, money usually talks, and somebody will eventually come forward, I think. It's a real shame that in our city somebody can just get shot down in cold blood and nobody can figure out who did it. So anyway, that's one of the two reward stories in our news these days. So let's move on. Let's talk about Joe Arnold. Joe has been a friend of mine for a long time. I can remember when he was doing radio overnight at WHAS Radio, and before he moved over to TV, where he's done just a wide variety of things. But I've seen Joe out. Joe started out, as we'll hear in the interview, and wanted to be an actor, and has got a hell of a singing voice. And he's just a great guy. I called him up and asked to meet him at the location of his choice, and he happened to be doing a story in the West End And I said, okay, I'll meet you there. And he said, just go down to 39th and Market to French Plaza. And of course, no, I had never, and you, listener, had probably never been to 39th and Market. It's just a part of town that's different. There's houses, there's businesses, there's people walking around. There's nothing really, different about that part of town, except that, you know, none of us goes there. It is certainly African American. And, you know, the time that I met with Joe, it was, you know, just middle of the day. They're doing an economic development plan down there. There's always been in the city, it seems, some sort of, effort to get more businesses more retail businesses to come to the West End. And so, that's the story that Joe was doing. So that's where I went to meet him. So here's my interview with Joe Arnold.
Getting to the bottom of the brewing community one pint at a time. It's the LouisvilleBeer.com podcast, Tuesdays on Louisville.am.
All right, and I'm here in West Louisville at a place I've never been before with Joe Arnold. And Joe, exactly why are we down here at 38th and Market?
French Plaza, this is going to be the groundbreaking site for the West Louisville-West Market Corridor Project, Phase 1. Some $500,000 in new sidewalks and planters and repaving and an area to kind of try to make this major connector a real connector for our area, as opposed to thinking about West Louisville being a different part of the world entirely.
Right, and I think a lot of our friends we were just discussing have probably never been here before, but you know, here we are. And I think it's appropriate, I guess, in talking to you. I've known you a long time, but you are very versatile in terms of, you've covered a lot of things. You used to be in radio,
mm-hmm.
And now you're, I guess, one of the few, if any, political reporters on local TV, right?
I am the political editor for WHAS-TV. However, I'm also a general assignment reporter, so I can be thrown into, as to your point, into anything. and I am usually, and there are times where if we're short-staffed or whatever else, I could be on a crime mm-hmm. situation. I could be doing a health story. But, you know, thankfully, or perhaps depending upon your preferences, that's Rick's phone, by the way, and not mine, politics, this area just seems to be really healthy in terms of political stories.
And you know, well, let's just talk for a second about the political landscape right now. I mean, everybody's talking about the McConnell-Grimes race.
And Bevin.
And Bevin, yeah, that's right. So how do you see that shape? Here we are in December. Got a long way to go.
Right. Well, at this point, it's two things. It's raising money more than anything, because it's like the army's preparing for battle. I mean, literally, it's in the winter, right? You have the quartermasters. Right. You're gathering your acorns. You're getting all these the arrows in your quiver, to butcher more metaphors, and you're ready to go for the big year, which is 2014. Of course, the political landscape has changed so much in recent years because of all the third-party money, the Citizens United case, and all the stuff pouring in. So usually we'd have to wait until the actual election year before you see these ads. We've had political ads on, though, for 5 or 6 months.
It's incredible. Right. And it seems like, do you see them taking more of a negative tone than in years past, or is it just the way it is?
Yeah, I mean, I think, frankly, attack ads have been part of, you know, politics forever, and I think they've always been complained about. It's just a matter, I do think, frankly, that the news consumers, for as jaded as we have become, the good part about that is I think we're a little bit more cynical and a little bit more sophisticated to be able to see through some of that stuff. And, you know, of course, it's our job as well to try to divine, you know, the truth and the falsehoods that are shown there. But so much of right now, back to your original question, is also just a matter of posturing. It's all a matter of just trying to put the best imprint upon on our record. And what's going on right now, of course, is you have Matt Bevin and Allison Grimes, two people who really don't have much of a record at all, voting-wise, against somebody who's been in office for 3 decades. So that's the biggest juxtaposition there in terms of how you run for office, because usually you have maybe two people who have real solid backgrounds that you can kind of compare one column versus the other. If you're coming into this as a neophyte, you can pretty much cast yourself however you want.
Right. And it seems like there's going to be more money this time. Let me just switch gears here and ask you about the TV news business. Now, you know, you've seen it change. I know your responsibilities aren't just going out and covering a story and getting back and editing it and putting it on the air.
How has that changed for you as a reporter?
Well, I mean, and to your point, like WHAS, we have more hours of news today than we ever have in the history of WHAS-TV, which is crazy when you think about it after 60 years of being on the air. Now, of course, people who grew up in Louisville know all the local programming used to be on the air. That wasn't news, though. We're now, you know, we have 2.5 hours in the morning with the morning show, right? Mm-hmm. We have a noon hour. We have a 4 p.m. hour newscast, a 5 p.m. hour newscast, a 6 p.m. half an hour newscast, half an hour at 11 o'clock at night. So, and then you have basically the same number of people doing that maybe used to do half that amount of content. So that means for all of us, that means there's more work.
Right.
And it frankly means sometimes that you're on more than one story in a given day. Mm-hmm. This is where the value of having a beat comes in, because you don't have to reinvent the wheel every day. Hopefully when you're walking into a story, you're not walking into it completely out of the blue and trying to learn algebra, calculus, and then explain it to somebody else 3 hours later.
Exactly.
That's the value of having some background. When you go into a story, you're beginning maybe at 75%, and you're just learning what the new details are.
Right. But, and I think maybe the criticism of TV news a lot of times, at least in my circle, is that because you're stretched so thin, so many hours to fill, there's no depth. You know, you're unable to do investigative pieces. I mean, that's a reality that you have to see, I guess.
That's the reality sometimes. At the same time, and I'm very proud of a piece that we recently did investigate, and frankly, they gave me more time I've ever had before on the air. I had a 7.5-minute story.
Wow.
Last month.
I'll just ruin the thing and give you the pop-up question. You put a bus company out of business. Right?
Well, don't tell the lawyers that. I mean, we exposed through some open records requests and through some federal documents some very poor safety and maintenance record of a particular bus company here in town that was involved in a terrible bus crash back in June. And as a result of our reporting, the local school district became aware of some of the things that otherwise they wouldn't have known. Mm-hmm. They decided to discontinue using that, at least temporarily. Really, the bus company couldn't shoulder that kind of a loss of a business, and that's what happened. Now, I'm not saying that we didn't go into that saying we want to put them out of business, but at the same time, our whole point was, who's driving your kids?
Right.
And in terms of investigative, I can't think of a more important story, politically or otherwise, to do as far as getting your kids to and from school safely.
Because we were talking about it, why are you in this business? Well, you hope to have some impact on the world and make it a better place or catch the bad guys, right? You've caught some bad guys in the past, haven't you?
Here and there. We've done some stories that people have ended up going to jail, and which is, now you don't want to meet them later on the sidewalk, perhaps. But to your point, though, too, it's interesting because it's that whole struggle, because I'm more of a, as you mentioned, I came from radio, and I'm probably a frustrated newspaper person, so we're deep in my, as far as my gut and as far as the amount of detail I like to bring to something. But, the people from the marketing area will remind me, that's all well and good, but if nobody's watching you, then what good is your story doing? So you have to have that balance. You need the flavor, you need the flash,
right?
And that character to be able to bring people in and draw them in. And then once they're there, then do a really good job, but do it in the shortest amount of time as possible.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you, of course, have the staying power. You've been here a long time, and that's great. I wanted to ask you quickly about some of your other pursuits, though. I know you were called on to perform, I guess, as a singer recently, and that must go back a long way.
Well, my previous life, which I don't talk about a lot, in before my reincarnation, when I was right out of college, my life story in 30 seconds, I couldn't figure out what I wanted to do in college. I got a triple major. It was mass comm, political science, and history. I graduated with a triple major, and then I ended up becoming an actor. Why? Because I went to a liberal arts school, and they encouraged people to kind of branch out. So I was on the road for 3 or 4 years, and I, was in productions and shows and enjoyed that. But I realized after a while that was not my calling. It was fun. It was a great thing to do when you're in your early 20s and you have no responsibilities. And I always wanted to, dig deeper into journalism, and was able to get involved with radio, came here to Louisville, and kind of worked my way up the ladder from being a board operator overnight at a radio station to the point of...
Listening to you overnight. What was it, noon to 6 or something?
Yeah. Midnight to 6, midnight to 5 ended up being over on HAS Radio a couple years later. And then, kind of just, getting involved in the community. But, that's the great thing is that it allows you the opportunity to to really get to know people. And that, and radio, believe me, you had some long, long and in-depth conversations.
Well, I'm just learning about that, Joe, of course. But and this, just tell me really quickly the story about you. You had to sing Oklahoma in front of an audience.
Well, that was the Leadership Louisville had a luncheon a few months ago where they had the Oklahoma City mayor there, and they decided that it would be kind of fun to surprise him with a little serenade. So I was pressed into duty by the mayor and by Leadership Louisville to do Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping around the plain and the waving wheat. Oh, I'll stop there. But it was kind of
fun. The words.
And I knew the words. Craig Buteau, the library director, I said, does anybody know the words? And he raised his hand. I said, will you sing with me? He said, absolutely not. And so I was left by myself out there. But it's just kind of fun. And, you know, here's the thing. I mean, we love attention in TV and radio, and that was kind of fun. But it's also just kind of neat to kind of just kick back a little bit, take, you know, and just have some fun.
That's right. That's what we're all about. Joe, I'm going to wrap it up here, but thanks for being on the Rusty Satellite Show, and we'll be anxious to see your story about the West End here.
West Market Street coming alive.
All right. Thanks again to Joe Arnold of WHS-TV.
And there you go. There's the first line of singing for the Rusty Satellite Show here in show number 23. Thanks to Joe Arnold and to Ed Hart for coming on the show this week. Hey, get in touch with me if you're interested in this. I'm looking at putting together some Rusty Satellite t-shirts with the slogan, "The Most Important People in the Ville," on it. Is that something you'd buy? I'm just curious to see if anybody's out there that would do so. I've got a cool design set up, and I'm going to get some done. It's if you're on my list, instead of a gift card, you're probably going to get a Rusty Satellite t-shirt under the tree for Christmas. So how about that? But I might sell a few if you're interested. Just get a hold of me. It's on the show how to get in touch with me. But, you know, my phone number, if you like it, is 502-439-5589. And I'd love to hear from you about the show. I'm starting to get feel like there's some momentum here on the show. We've got really interesting guests. In fact, I know that next week we're going to have the new executive editor of the Courier-Journal, Neil Buddy, is going to be on the show. So we're looking very much forward to that. And I'll have some more interesting guests here on the Rusty Satellite Show, home of the most interesting people in the Ville.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city.
Time.